dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Mark Rutledge put on Christ. So in Christ may Mark be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. And blessed be the God who consoles all of us in our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and I am life. And those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He said, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. And because I live, you shall live also. Friends, brothers, and sisters, we are gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith in Christ as we celebrate the life of Mark Rutledge. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow hope, and in death resurrection. I invite you at this time, as we join together in worship, hymn number 89. This was Erica's favorite hymn. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Hymn number 89, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Was a victor in the midst of strife, wasn't he? Will you pray with me? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who gave us birth, you are evermore ready to hear. than we are to pray. You know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. So, Father, give to us now your grace, that as we shrink before the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you, and that nothing in life or in death will be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I hadn't said before, but Mark's wishes for the service today was that today would be almost identical to his wife's service, Erica's memorial service. So if it feels like deja vu, that's why. And so we're going to sing another one of Erica's favorite hymns, hymn number 707, the Hymn of Promise. Psalm 23 from the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And this was another scripture that was from Erica's service, but I think this was fitting for how Mark lived his life. This is from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of the life God gives us, for this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions, and whom he enables to enjoy them, and to accept their lot, and find enjoyment in their toil. This is the gift of God, for they will scarcely brood over the days of their lives, because God keeps them occupied with the joy of their hearts. I invite you now to pray with me. God of love, we thank you for all that which you have blessed us, even to this day. For the gift of joy in days of health and strength, and for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in these days of pain and grief. Father, we praise you for home and friends, and for our baptism and place in your church, with all who have faithfully lived and died. And above all else, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who knew our griefs, who died and rose for our sake, and who lives and prays for us. And as he taught us, so now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And hear the good news from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 15. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture that says, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Amen. And so at this time, I want to invite Abby Rutledge, Mark and Erica's beloved daughter, to come and share her eulogy and share some wonderful things about her father.
I first want to just take a second and thank each of you for coming today to remember Mark, to remember him as a friend, a son, a brother, and most importantly, a dad. As I thought about what I wanted to say today about my dad, I came across this saying, "Death leaves a heartache that no one can steal, but love leaves a memory that no one can steal." Love is, after all, why we are here today, but because we all were loved by an incredible man, and we are lucky enough to love him back as well. While death leaves us with an incurable heartache that we are feeling very strongly today, love also is present and brings us back some wonderful memories. Growing up, I was an only child, so I was incredibly close to both of my parents. But I was and am a tried and true daddy's girl. One of my earliest memories of my dad is when I was about 6. It was Easter, and I begged them, both my mom and dad, for a basketball hoop to go with the basketball I had gotten for Christmas that December. In true dad fashion, he didn't hesitate to surprise me with not only a perfectly placed 10-foot goal, he also blacktopped the driveway and put in a 2-standard basketball court. I can't begin to tell you all about each of these memories that we had on the court, because there's countless hours spent out there, just the two of us. I would shoot, and he would run the ball down, and he would correct my form over and over and over again. And he would coach me for my coming games. That court brought me so many happy memories and lasting images of my childhood. That memory only begins to describe the true person that my dad was. He was a giver by nature. Nothing would stop him from giving or caring for someone he loved. I like to think that this was one of my dad's most admirable features. But truth be told, he had many more. My dad was the definition of a loving husband, and what a loving husband should look like. He loved my mom unconditionally for 46 years of marriage. He supported her every move, career change, and 18 years of selling Longaberger baskets. He would tell me, "Anything to make your mom smile, Ab. That is what I am all about." His love for family didn't stop there. My dad was a devoted son to his mom and dad. They were extremely close, owning and operating Rutledge Greenhouse and Landscape, spending weekends on the golf course, and holidays gathered around the table. The one thing I remember most about my dad is he was a teacher, and he always had a lesson to share. He taught me many lessons throughout my life, but I think he taught me the most important lessons in his final days, weeks, months, and inevitably year of his life. He taught me about compassion. He taught me forgiveness. He taught me understanding. He taught me hope, faith, and most importantly, he taught me what love looks like. He taught me that life is short and tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So to love the people that love you and sacrifice for the people that sacrifice for you. Give your best self to those around you. Offer a helping hand and don't forget to smile and have a good laugh from time to time. And most importantly, enjoy every single second. Life is short and often brutal, but the Mark Rutledge way to combat that was with a good laugh, a round of golf, and appreciation for the smallest joys in life. So today, as you leave and remember all the fond memories of my dad, find a way to appreciate something small in your life in remembrance of him and help to carry his legacy on into the next coming days, months, and years.
Thank you, Abby. That was beautiful. Well, this was the scripture that was from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And this was also from Erica's. This was her message for all of us, but I think that Mark lived his life because he listened to anything that Erica told him. She might have to say it five times from what you told me, but I think that Mark lived his life in this way. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But you strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Mark Rutledge, age 70, of Alpha, Illinois, died 12 p.m., high noon, Tuesday, August 27th, 2019, at the Hawk Family Pavilion in Durham, North Carolina, surrounded by his family, in particular while holding Abby's hand. Abby was holding his hand when Jesus came to take him home to Erica. Mark was born August 11th, 1949, in Moline, Illinois, to Richard and Doris Feline Rutledge. He graduated from Alwood High School in 1967 and attended Western Illinois University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in landscape management. Mark married the love of his life, Erica Rethy. Did I say that right? Rethy. Erica Rethy, June 7th, 1970, in Springfield, Illinois. And tragically, she died May 18th, 2016. He was the owner and operator of Rutledge Landscape and Greenhouse, where he took pride in landscaping yards, businesses, and parks all over the central Illinois region. And as many of you know, Mark loved, he was a big fan of the Chicago Cubs for baseball, Chicago Bears for football, and Duke University for basketball. Most days, Mark could be found running a tractor, digging trees, or spending time at his favorite place on earth, the golf course, especially early morning rounds with the Dew Dusters. Are there any Dew Dusters who are here? Sorry for your loss, and thank you for being here. His survivors include his daughter, Abby, and her husband, Larry, Schaefer of Creedmoor, North Carolina, one sister, Diane, and a brother-in-law, Scott Schreppel of Atlanta, Georgia, his father, Richard, and his mother, Doris Rutledge of Alpha, Illinois. And he was preceded, as you know, in death by his wife, Erica. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of what I learned and that God showed me from spending time with the Rutledge family these past few weeks. And when I met with Erica, or when I met with Doris and Dick, they shared with me about the kind of a son that Mark was. Mark was a wonderful son, they said. And he was not ornery, which I find interesting. They said he was not ornery. I learned about his childhood, how he grew up, and he was friends with, I hope I didn't forget somebody, but if I did, I'm sorry, with the Wirts, with George, Michelle, and Joan, with the Luttrells, with John Barton and Tim Blaine, and with others I haven't named, but you're here, and you know that you were his friends, and he was a good friend to you. And at the age of 15, he worked at the family nursery. He was a loving son. He would do anything for his parents. How many of you know too many people that would spend their lives living just down, right down the road from their parents and living on that same land? Dick was telling me that was it the house was built in 1890? So is that five or four generations? I'm not very good with math. Several generations of Rutledges on the same land. In the same homes, and passing on that legacy from generation to generation. That legacy, and what was inspiring to me, and I preached on this morning, but you know, Ephesians 6:1-4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment. It's the fifth commandment, but it's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments with a promise. "So that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And I think that Mark experienced that as a child, and he certainly obeyed his parents, but that he passed that on to Abby. He certainly did not exasperate you. He honored you. He built you up. He coached you. He was so proud of you, I'm sure. I also learned from his parents that he loved his grandparents. He loved Grandma Esther and Fred Feline and Grandpa Jake or Melvin and Mabel Rutledge of Alpha. And that he was a fiercely devoted husband. He loved his wife. He lived out that kind of love where it talks about in Song of Solomon, that set me as a seal upon your arm. For there is a love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. Many waters cannot quench this kind of love. It's like a raging flame. And I remember seeing that when I watched him be with his wife at her side up to her last days. And how he then devoted himself, as he always had, but continued for Abby. And then he went and lived with you, Abby. And you took care of him the same way that he took care of Erica. And I had a good time the other day in the midst of the grief. We had a great time. Abby and her tribe shared some great stories. some that aren't safe for here. But I heard some stories. You know, I love the basketball hoop story. She told me about how he practiced his faith and would always come to church and bring Abby with Erica, because Erica was Sunday school superintendent, 15 years? And he'd do anything she asked. And I heard the story how he'd sit in church and turn to Abby when he was starting to get a little antsy and say, "Hey, you got to go? You need me to take you to the restroom?" And how on that Easter, when you were getting that surprise from your dad, you asked, "Well, why can't Dad come to church?" Well, he's been given reprieve. And your mom took you to every service. Sunrise, how was it, 2 or 3 services that day? Three. And then to come home to that. And it was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy because you played college ball. Yeah. I learned this weekend that Abby was a teammate and a friend of Heather Legner, a girl that I went to high school with, who was a basketball star at my school. But I heard the story about how he would scoop the darn circle so the school bus in the snow would scoop the snow off the circle so the school bus could come through. And Abby told me about how they had these, Erica would have these Wii projects for Mark. And they were called Wii projects because the Wii being Mark and Abby would make them happen. And Abby told me that with Mark, you always knew where you stood with him. He would tell you how it is or how he felt about you. He wouldn't hold back. But the thing that the Lord showed me that I was really convicted of, and it made me want to be a better husband and a better father and a better son, was that Mark Rutledge, these are my words, he was never too proud to do anything for his daughter, for his wife, and for his parents. And probably for his friends, as you knew. Abby told me stories about how he would coach her for basketball, but then when she did cheerleading, he would learn the cheers with her in the yard. But what a dad. What a husband. What a son. And the verse that God brought to mind when Abby called me or texted me and let me know that it asked me to pray for Mark, for Jesus, for him to pass peacefully, and he did. It was this scripture. It's from Paul's words to Timothy in the second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. And for a guy who, as many of you remember, he was going to kick cancer's ass. Excuse me. Sorry. Paul said this: "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The good news in this life is we have Jesus Christ, who is willing to be our Lord and Savior if we believe in him, because he died for us on the cross and was raised for our sins. But the bad news in this life is that all of us have to die someday until Jesus comes back. But we can choose to live like Mark and be a faithful and fiercely loyal child, father or mother, son or daughter, friend. Live life with no regrets. And to not worry. To just keep showing up and doing our work and focus on the people that are most important in our life. You know, I remember when I was coming over there the other day, in Christian circles, we tend to pray sometimes, "God, give us a hedge of protection. Put a hedge of protection, or send your angels to protect us." And while I was over there at the house, I realized he planted the literal hedges of protection around the house to guard that treasure in his life. His family. And so I hope as you leave here today that you're pricked in the heart, maybe cut to the heart. Maybe there's a change you might need to make in your life to focus more on the people that you treasure in your life or who treasure you and not take them for granted. Maybe there's people that you need to forgive. Maybe there's people who you just need to let go and put them in God's hands and focus on the people who are right there in front of you. But I'm inspired by his life, and I hope that you are. And I hope that you see his perseverance, where he fought to the end. And he did win the fight against cancer. And he's now with Erica in the resurrection. And there'll be that family reunion in heaven. But until then, I pray that God will comfort the family with his Holy Spirit and his peace. And all of you, in Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to sing. This was another one of Erica's favorite songs. And I understand if it's hard to sing right now, but hymn number 77, How Great Thou Art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
join me as we pray? Everlasting God, in Christ's resurrection, you turned the disciples' despair into triumph, their sorrow into joy. Give us faith now to believe that every good that seems to be overcome by evil and every love that seems to be buried in death shall rise again to life eternal through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns with you forevermore. Amen. And so at this time, we're going to have a song of remembrance that the family's picked out. It's a special song between Mark and Abby. It's called "You Are My Sunshine." Oh God, all that you have given us is yours. At first you gave Mark Rutledge to us, so now we give Mark back to you. Receive Mark into the arms of your mercy. Raise Mark up with all your people, especially his bride Erica. And receive us also and raise us into a new life. Help us so to love and serve you in this world that we may enter into your joy in the world to come. Amen. And now may the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, according to the riches of God's glory, grant you to be strengthened with might through God's Holy Spirit in your inner being, that Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.